Greetings, eco-loving viewers, and welcome to Planet Earth, our loving home. On today's programme, we examine the effects of the short-lived climate forcer, black carbon, on ice masses and planetary warming, and the role that animal agriculture and deforestation for livestock raising play in intensifying black carbon's impact. Black carbon, also known as soot, is a powerful warming agent that originates from the incomplete combustion of fossil fuels, diesel exhaust, inefficient cook stoves, mainly used in developing countries, burning biomass such as dried dung, wood, brush, or crop residue as fuel, and the clearing of forests and savannas with fire. When the black carbon particles are airborne, they have an intense warming effect, but have an even greater impact when they are deposited on ice masses. This is a major concern and why black carbon emissions need to be addressed immediately. Its atmospheric lifespan ranges from 1 to 4 weeks, and its global warming potential, or GWP, over a 20-year time frame has been calculated to be between a staggering 1,600 to 4,700 times the warming power of carbon dioxide. Black carbon's warming effect occurs in two ways. One, in the atmosphere, as black particles absorb sunlight and generate heat. And two, particles are deposited on the Earth's surface, in particular on ice masses, where they reduce the ability of the ice to reflect sunlight back into space and cause rapid melting by generating heat from absorbing sunlight. Professor Jefferson Simoes is the director of the Brazilian National Institute for Cryospheric Sciences and a national delegate to the Scientific Committee on Antarctic Research, or SCAR. He created the first national laboratory in Brazil dedicated to glaciology and geographical polar research, and recently gave an informative presentation on the presence of black carbon in Antarctica and its effect on ice masses at the November the 3rd, 2010 Leaders Preserving Our Future, Pace and Priorities on Climate Change conference in London, UK.
We know that they are spread from Arctic to Antarctica, elsewhere in the world. They are very tiny particles, between 0.01 to 1 micron in the atmosphere. It stays in the atmosphere just a couple of weeks, but is available to disperse it at longer ranges. BC, or black carbon, belongs to short-lived pollutants. And then comes the most important point, is the second most important contributor to the global warming. In fact, the potential of black carbon is estimated to have 55% of the radioactive forcing effect of carbon dioxide. So, the thing that we have in this picture here is the main places that we have biomass burning at the moment, at the year of 2009. As you can see, mainly in the subtropical and tropics, not only in South America, but also in Africa and Australia and some countries like Indonesia, Malaysia, and others in Southeast Asia. We can place the following question. How this kind of material be transported to Antarctica? It seems a long way. For the last 10 years, we have changed our idea about the transport of air masses from South America, or from the tropics of South America, to Antarctica. By now, we know that cyclonic activity is able to transport materials in a short time, in a week or so, from the main areas of biomass burning to the south, and then mainly to the northernmost part of Antarctica, that is the Antarctic Peninsula.
Professor Simoes has been on several research expeditions to the Antarctic Peninsula and has seen significant, worrisome changes.
Over the last 20 years in Antarctica, we have observed several modifications in the northmost part of that continent that's known as the Antarctic Peninsula. We can observe, for the last 20 years, melt of glaciers, collapse of ice shelves, more than 20,000 square kilometers of ice shelves of the Antarctic Peninsula disappear, migration of different species further south, like some penguins. Grass is appearing in some islands that it didn't have before. In short, we are observing the shifting further south of the isotherms, of the lines of same temperature.
Antarctica contains 90% of the world's water glaciers. The rapid melting of these ice masses means serious consequences for those living in coastal areas and on low-lying islands, and also for food security. The World Bank estimates that just a 1 meter rise in sea level will inundate Asia's rice-growing river deltas. Many islands would disappear, such as Kiribati, the Maldives, and Tuvalu, because their highest points are only 2 meters above sea level.
We're approaching a number of tipping points very quickly that could involve melting of the ice sheets in all of London, New York, even Washington, D.C., being inundated and so forth. That goes on irreversibly. And, of course, all sorts of feedback effects, particularly within the Arctic, a thawing of the tundra that could essentially feed on itself, a kind of metastatic climate change. And many of these things are likely to happen in the lifetime of many of us right here.
Notable initiatives that have been proposed for mitigating black carbon include replacing polluting cook stoves with cleaner, more efficient ones, and installing filters on exhausts of diesel vehicles. These will play an important role in improving air quality, addressing health concerns, and abating a portion of the warming. However, massive reductions in black carbon can be made by addressing open burning of agricultural lands. In particular, fires lit to clear forests and control vegetation regrowth for livestock grazing.
It's clear that nowadays the greatest part of the deforestation by mass burning in South America comes from the expansion of the cash crops and cattle farming. The thing that we are seeing is that the farming frontier is moving further north over the Brazilian savanna, that is known as Cerrado, towards the Amazon forest.
Halting the warming of the ice masses is an absolute necessity and the challenge to stabilize the climate of our planetary home. What is agriculture's, in particular livestock farming's, role in all this?
About half, or 47 to 61%, to be exact, of the black carbon in Antarctica is attributable to livestock pasture management.
Until recently, Mr. Gerard Wedderburn Bishop worked as a principal scientist with a remote sensing science team responsible for mapping tree clearing via satellite imagery in Queensland, Australia. Now, Mr. Wedderburn Bishop is a senior scientist for the World Preservation Foundation and recently gave a presentation at a December the 8th, 2010 conference entitled Black Carbon and Short-Lived GHG, or Greenhouse Gas Mitigation, held in Cancun, Mexico.
70% of global agricultural land is used for livestock. Much of the trees cleared and feed crops undergo repeated burning. Okay, so it's a source of many things. It's a source of methane, it's a source of soil carbon loss, and of course, fire. This is a map here of the world's deforestation. You know what's happening in South America. You know sub-Saharan Africa. You know that Indonesia and Malaysia and Papua New Guinea are being deforested at a large rate. This is a 2 10-day periods taken from the last few months. You can see that the world is burning. South America, Africa, in different places at different times. Southeast Asia, Australia is burning. And some up in Russia there. Okay, the pattern of fire matches the pattern of deforestation. No surprises. Fire retards the growth and maintains the pasture.
Mr. Wedderburn Bishop and his team of researchers made an astounding discovery about animal agriculture's connection to the melting of West Antarctica.
West Antarctica is the fastest warming place on Earth. The melting there is happening at an alarming rate, and they're discovering, much to the surprise of researchers, that the black carbon is also there in large quantities. Most from South America, some from South Africa, and some also from India. The black carbon is most concentrated in the Antarctic Peninsula and Western Antarctica, both of which are warming at rates far exceeding the global average. If we attribute the black carbon in the same proportion as the deforestation, remember that 80% of Amazon deforestation is for grazing and livestock feed, and in Africa, 70% of the burning of the open fires are for livestock farming, for pasture maintenance. We see that when we add the South American and African proportions, about half, or 47 to 61% to be exact, of the black carbon in Antarctica is attributable to livestock pasture management. This suggests that grazing practices are the most significant black carbon contributors to Antarctic melting. The shorter-lived agents are the ones that we must address if we're going to reduce the warming of this planet in the short term, which is all we've got.
The impact of livestock production is enormous. First of all, we have the direct emissions of methane from the enteric fermentation, the largest part of all methane production on the planet. Secondly, we have deforestation, which takes away the CO2 directly, and the burning to maintain that pasture, it also produces black carbon and CO2 directly. Now, after you take away the forest, the soil carbon also depletes long term. So the other effect is that livestock produce quite a lot of tropospheric ozone, and that's produced mainly by methane production. So if we reduce the methane production, we can control the ozone, the tropospheric ozone production, which is a major warmer. This is producing 20% of the warming of carbon dioxide. So if you add all those together, the impact of livestock production is enormous.
Deeply concerned about the state of our planet, Supreme Master Ching Hai, on many occasions, has highlighted the urgent need to limit black carbon emissions, and that ending livestock raising is the most effective solution to dramatically lessen levels of soot and reverse climate change.
NASA scientists are paying increasing attention to another very serious source of global warming, that is black carbon. It is 4,000 plus times more heat-trapping than CO2. The majority of the black carbon particles in Antarctica are coming from where? South American rainforests that are burned for the livestock industry. Now, we're going somewhere. We must urgently address methane and black carbon, both outcomes of the meat industry. Immediately we have to tackle it. I pray all wise leaders will halt the lethal meat practice, which is the main force driving us to the point of no return right now.
I our heartfelt thanks, Professor Jefferson Somoas, John Topping, Gerald Wedderburn Bishop, and Supreme Master Ching Hai, for alerting the public to the tremendous dangers posed by black carbon, and your steadfast advocacy for significantly reducing soot emissions right away. It is clearly evident that animal agriculture is an enormously detrimental practice for countless reasons and must be halted now so that we can heal and restore planet Earth to her natural order. May humankind quickly awaken and adopt the nature-supporting and life-affirming organic vegan diet. For more details about the organizations today's guests represent, please visit the following websites. Professor Jefferson Somoas of the Brazilian National Institute for Cryospheric Sciences, part of the Brazilian Ministry of Science and Technology. www.cnpq.br. John C. Topping of the Climate Institute, www.climate.org. Gerald Wedderburn Bishop of the World Preservation Foundation, www.worldpreservationfoundation.org. Thank you for joining us on Planet Earth, our loving home. Enlightening Entertainment is next, following Noteworthy News. Through noble and wise stewardship, may our world soon return to its natural harmony and equilibrium.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/PE